Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Of the many climate crises we face, soil erosion isn't usually on the top of people's lists. But perhaps it should be. Without topsoil, we can't grow food, and without food, civilizations collapse. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that our agricultural soil erodes at an average rate of almost 5 tons of topsoil per acre per year. In contrast, soil regenerates at less than 1/10 of that rate. Farming practices contribute to the loss, as does global warming. But our next guest says we can fix it. Dr. Joe Handelsman is the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery at UW-Madison, and she's a research professor in the Department of Plant Pathology. She'll be delivering a talk on soil preservation at the Milwaukee Public Museum Thursday evening. She joins Lake Effect's Bonnie North from her office in Madison to explain how farming practices are contributing to soil loss.
The main thing we're doing is what soil is generally used for, which is crop production. And the methods that humans have used for crop production for literally thousands of years are very destructive to the structure of the soil and make it very vulnerable to erosion. So it's not something that is unique to modern farming. And in fact, many civilizations over thousands of years of history of agriculture have collapsed because they have eroded their soil, and their soil has been destroyed by plowing, which is the main destructive technique we use, and then exposure to hard rain and wind that will take the soil away. We know better now. We know how to preserve soil, and that's the happy part of the story, is that we're losing our soil very rapidly, but we could turn that around in a very short period of time if we put our minds to it.
So plowing, as you say, is the primary way we plant crops. What should we be doing differently that would allow us to still plant and grow food without destroying the very thing that's allowing us to grow the food?
Well, there are three techniques in farming that are well known and very widely used, but not widely enough. And the first is no-till planting, which is where the seeds are actually drilled into last year's crop residue, so, you know, the stubble or whatever's left over from last year, and the soil is never broken up and turned. It's just it receives the seed with this drill. That was a method developed years ago and is used, ironically, more in other countries than in the United States. I think of our agricultural land, about a third or less is under no-till conditions, whereas in Brazil, 3/4 of their cropland is no-till. So that's one that we could switch to, and there are barriers for farmers for all of these, so I'm not minimizing that, but these are the methods that will work. The second is cover crops, which hold the soil in place when we're not growing anything for crop production in it. So in Wisconsin, for example, we will often harvest the crop in the fall. Some farmers will plow after harvest, and then there will be nothing, just bare soil, until planting in the spring. And so for 7 or 8 months a year, that soil can be bare. And we should never have bare soil. That makes it so vulnerable to removal by wind and water. So cover crops are crops that are planted usually in the fall and cover the land over the winter. Some of those can be plowed back in the spring if plowing is done, or just left to decompose, and then they add fertility to the soil. Some can be turned into crops and used for profit. And then the third method is to intercrop, which means planting the very deep-rooted prairie plants that formed the great soils of the Midwest in the first place, interspersed with the crop plant. And so there are some wonderful experiments that show that if you simply take 10% of the corn out of production and replace it with these deep-rooted prairie plants, that is sufficient to reduce erosion 95%, essentially knocks it down to almost insignificant.
You talked about barriers to this. Are they economic barriers? Are they labor barriers? What is preventing farmers, if we know that this is happening and we want to prevent it from happening, what's preventing us from fixing it?
Well, the big challenge is really economic. Farmers don't have enough of a margin, a profit margin, to suddenly adopt a whole new set of practices that will cost some initial capital investment or some other kind of investment. And they just don't have that leeway in the economics of farming. And so we need to have some sorts of systems that will help farmers get over that initial barrier, because all of these methods will ultimately pay for themselves, but they may require, for example, with no-till farming, you need the drill. So that's a capital investment to do the planting. Or you, for example, in the intercropping, there's a quirk in our crop insurance system where if a farmer says, I'm going to plant 10% less corn this year, and instead of that 10%, I'm going to plant these deep-rooted prairie plants that will nourish my soil, that's a great thing to do for the long term, and corn yields will probably go up within 2 to 3 years. But by taking 10% of the corn out of production, that will reduce the farmer's crop insurance by 10%. Well, that's a risk we can't ask our farmers to take. So there are some systematic problems that get in the way of farmers doing that. That being said, there are many farmers in Wisconsin and other states who have adopted all of these methods and other very innovative methods to restore or build soil.
Do farmers who are focusing on organic farming methods go to this a little more readily, or is it across the board, whether they're using more traditional agriculture or more organic-based?
There is more of a tendency of organic farmers to use these methods, definitely.
So what can consumers do to help farmers adopt these practices?
Well, it's very hard as an individual to find out where your food is grown and under what conditions. Certainly things like community-supported agriculture is one way that people do that, where they can actually meet the farmers and ask about methods that they're using. But I think we need something much broader at a national level and a consumer movement for soil-safe farming. And so my proposal is that if we had a sticker that's like the organic stickers, that if you're certified soil safe, you could put this soil safe certification on your food product, then consumers could decide whether they're willing to pay a small premium to support farmers who conduct soil safe farming. I think all we would need is some of the wholesalers for major food suppliers to get on board in order to make this profitable for farmers.
Well, we did that with organic foods, certainly, and with the whole farm to table and the idea. And I mean, I'm old enough to remember, when food co-ops first really started in the 60s and 70s, and for a long time it was a niche thing, but it isn't anymore. It seems to be everywhere. And I can't imagine that we couldn't use the same sort of methods to ensure the soil safety as well.
I think a great place to start is in meat production, because most of the most destructive farming is done with corn and soybeans. And those aren't grown for direct human consumption. Those are our Midwestern feed crops for animals. And so what if we started with soil-safe meat, which would mean that the meat had been produced with animals fed corn or soybeans, any kind of grains that were grown on land that was managed in a soil-safe way. I think that would create a premium type of meat, which I think the meat industry might even be looking for right now, because meat is under all sorts of criticism to begin with because of health issues and climate change issues. And I think the industry or parts of it may be looking for new ways to market their product. in a way that sounds more environmentally friendly, which being soil safe certainly would be. That might be a place to start, because you're absolutely right. We've done this before, and the question is where do you start, and how do you get the consumer on board for it?
From a scientific perspective, if we don't do soil safe farming, what are we looking at in the near and then distant future?
Well, it's going to vary across our crop acreage, but across the United States, the average soil loss on our agricultural land is about 4 tons of soil per acre per year is lost. Now, soil is produced at about 1/10 that rate. So it doesn't take a lot of math to figure out that that's not sustainable, that we're using the soil up, we're removing it from the land 10 times faster than it's being regenerated. But within that average across the United States, there's enormous variation, and there will be areas where there's no soil loss and then areas where there's quite enormous soil loss. And in fact, there have been some tracking of soil loss experiments in Iowa that have shown that not only does Iowa as a state, the average exceeds that national average, they're at almost 6 tons per acre, but there are areas that in recent years, because of the very high precipitation and severe rainstorms with these high momentum raindrops hitting the soil, which is very destructive to the soil, there are areas of Iowa that have lost 50 tons of soil in a single acre in a day because of one storm. And that's 10 times the average of soil loss for the state. And that's in a single day. So the concern is that, first of all, weather that is destructive to soil, those just extremely hard precipitation events are increasing quite rapidly. And they have been for the last 50 years, and it looks like they're going to increase in frequency at an even higher rate going forward. So we're putting the soil under more stress with the current climate trends, but some areas are already losing soil so fast that they will be out of soil in the very near future. So if you fly over the Midwest, you can actually see areas where there's no more surface soil, topsoil, and you can see the subsoil peeking through, which is the mineral layer that isn't really fit for growing crops. There's some evidence that pretty large tracts of land in the Midwest have already gotten to that state. And in the areas that are steeply sloped and are losing soil at a very high rate, we're going to see substantial acreages that have lost all of their topsoil by 2025, 2030. And then if we keep going at this rate, by 2050, I think we'll be in an extremely severe soil loss condition.
It sounds like Dust Bowl times 1,000.
Yes, that's right. And what we're experiencing now, which is a little bit different from the Dust Bowl, is that it's not just the drought that caused the Dust Bowl, but it's now both drought, which can cause soil loss in areas like Kansas and Oklahoma and where the Dust Bowl was at its worst, but now it's also heavy precipitation that is a serious problem. And at the time of the Dust Bowl, we weren't seeing these trends of increasing frequency of these heavy precipitation events. So now there are actually two forces driving soil loss at an increasing rate, and that's both the wind and water erosion.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot to do in a very short amount of time.
I agree, but what I think is the great news about this topic is that we have the means and the knowledge and the scientific wherewithal to fix it. And unlike some of the other global issues that we're dealing with today, where it's very hard to imagine a quick fix with soil loss, we can fix this and soil can be regenerated. And so if we stop eroding it and start building it, we can be in a much better place in terms of the condition of our soil in a very short time.
Well, Dr. Joe Handelsman, it has been such a pleasure having you on Lake Effect. We look forward to having you in Milwaukee on the 16th at the Milwaukee Public Museum. But thank you again for speaking with us.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to being in Milwaukee.
Dr. Joe Handelsman is a research professor and the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery at UW-Madison. She'll be discussing soil erosion this Thursday evening at the Milwaukee Public Museum as part of their Science on Tap series. There's more information at WUWM.com.